Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, if you want to take a seat. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 9. It's great to be able to, while you're turning there, really bless people through the storehouse, be able to give people food hampers, and I know some of you have given furniture and clothes. Just to encourage you, particularly on the food side of it, but on all of those three areas, if you just remember on Sundays when you come to bring something to really give into the storehouse. Sometimes there's an overflow of food and it's great, and other times, it's kind of fairly empty, let's put it that way. And so we want to just maybe remember on a Sunday morning, as well as grabbing your Bible, grab something else to bring with you, that we can really bless people increasingly through the storehouse ministry. Now, just want to do a very quick recap over the last three Sundays and then kind of link in what we're going to just look at this morning. The first Sunday of the year, God spoke about fit for purpose. And he was speaking to us about not just being physically fit, but also spiritually. And if you're going to see a natural harvest, and you're going to go out and work in a field and bring a harvest, and you've got to be physically fit to do that. But also, if we're going to see a spiritual harvest, then we need to be spiritually fit. And God was just encouraging us to make sure that anything that makes us spiritually flabby, we were dealing with in our lives, so that we could be spiritually kind of fit and healthy for what God wants to do. To see a spiritual harvest, then we need to be spiritually fit. And then the second week, the emphasis of the week was about the Holy of Holies, really meeting with God. And that if we're going to be fit for purpose, then we need to be a people who are seeking the Lord, who know how to come into the Holy of Holies. It's about our relationship and intimacy with God, allowing God to work in our hearts and deal with us, but to be a people who have face-to-face encounter with God, not just when we come together, but when we're on our own, and really developing and cultivating that personal time with him, that relationship with him, sensitivity to him, and not just staying in the outer courts or having a distant relationship with him, but really having that time where we're setting ourselves apart from everything else that we do, but coming right into his presence and right into his throne room, and then everything that then flows out from there. And last week, we had all the children in, we had some baptisms, we're all together as a family, as a church, and God was speaking about time, that now is the time of his favour, and now is the time of salvation. And something, I can't quite put my finger on it, but something happened last week in terms of the generational side of things that we are as a church, and what God's doing isn't just about us in this room meeting here, but it's also about every age group, every generation, and what God is doing through all of our lives at this time. And God was speaking about time, that we, once you live a day, you can't relive it. Once you've lived a moment, you can't relive that moment. But we need to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And as God is speaking about harvest, then we want to make sure that we are not letting something pass us by, because God is saying something and we're waiting for it, and who's going to make that happen so I can be part of it. But when God speaks about something specific, then each one of us has a responsibility to take hold of what God is saying and look at what does that actually mean in my life in terms of applying it. And we're going to look at that this morning and try and earth a little bit some of what God is saying in terms of what that means for each one of us. So we're going to begin in Luke chapter 9, if you want to grab your Bible. And we're just going to read from the beginning of the chapter. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons. That's a pretty good start. And to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he sent them out fully loaded. Amen. So I don't know whether he lined them all up, but He must have got these 12 blokes together and he said, right, now I'm going to load you up with everything you need. So you're not going to be able to go with a famine mentality saying, well, I can't do this because I haven't got what I need. But you're going to go with an abundance mentality because I'm giving you everything you need to fulfill the commission that I'm giving you to do. And so he was sending them out basically into the harvest field, sending them out in twos to go before him and to prepare the way. But also he was sending them out to for them to trust God in a way that they hadn't had to trust God before. He'd been with them and they'd been with him. He'd done most of the work up to that point and they'd watched him. But it came the time when Jesus says, right, now you're going to have to trust me in a new way. It's not just me that is going to be doing these things with you next to me watching, but now I'm sending you to begin to do things, then you're going to have to trust me. And he sent them fully loaded. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you are fully loaded. He gave them power. Just tell the person next to you, you have power. He gave them authority. Tell them they've got authority. But now tell them, what authority have they got to do what with it? What does the word say? To drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Now, are you any different from the 12 that he was speaking to then? So you have power. You have authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and to go and preach the good news of the kingdom and to heal the sick. Heal the sick. Now, do you feel fully loaded? Some of you might not. Sitting in a chair in a building isn't the best place to feel fully loaded. Sometimes you feel fully relaxed just sitting there in a chair, not particularly fully loaded. But this is where, when we walk out of the building, we take everything we've heard, everything that God has been saying and doing, and we say, right, whether I feel it or not, because we're in abundance, because I'm in abundance, because I'm not in famine anymore, because I'm now fully loaded with everything I need for the harvest and to be fruitful, then I have everything that I need in my hands this week to see God do through my life whatever he wants to do. Whether somebody needs me to lay hands on them and they get set free, whether I lay hands on somebody who is sick and they get well, whether somebody's in front of me, I have the words I need to speak life into their lives and into their situation. Because you are fully loaded, not fully laden. Fully laden will put a wrong weight on you and make you feel, how can I do this? This is impossible. But fully loaded means you have everything you need and you are lifted to know that whatever situations that God puts in front of you, you have what you need to see it. Now, does God just put situations in front of you, or does he only put things in front of you when he knows you're ready to deal with them? Many of us can be passive in the way we respond to what God says. God can give promises and God can speak prophetically, but we can have a passive response to that, whether you call that doubt or whether you call it unbelief or whatever you call it, you can have a passive response and say, well, okay, God, if you bring things across my path, then I will respond. But God doesn't seem to work like that, because faith is not passive. Faith is active. The Bible talks about faith is living and active. Why? Because faith comes from hearing his word. And if his word is alive, when God speaks, then something living and active is going on inside of you. Therefore, there's something of action that is taking place. So God speaks to you, and rather than thinking, well, I'll see what God brings across my path this week, Because if we have a passive attitude like that, we'll have a passive attitude when any possibilities come our way. Now, there's a tension, isn't there, between being led by the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit, lead me into whatever you want to do, but also then that dynamic of faith that is operating in our lives to engage with what God says, to be available at any moment for what God wants to do. Now, when the Holy Spirit knows we're available for Him in any situation, then He leads us and put things in front of us. He'll lead us and nudge us and speak to us because our faith is active, wanting to and ready to respond. But when there's a passive nature, if you like, to our response to what God is saying, then sometimes those things don't necessarily happen because we're waiting for something else to happen. We're waiting for somebody else to trigger it, or God to do something before we have to act in faith. Now, God is speaking about harvest and abundance in our lives. And in this situation, Jesus is laying out, well, I don't know if He laid hands on them, but He certainly sent them out with authority to drive out demons, cure diseases, preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. And He said to them, don't take anything with you. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. What was He saying? Just totally trust in Me. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now, if you just look at verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. So they'd gone out and they'd done what Jesus had commanded them to do. Now, in one sense, Jesus had basically just asked them to take one step beyond where they'd been before. He wanted them to have a taster of what it was like to trust God, what it was like to see Him work through their lives without Him being there. They were going to have to trust the Holy Spirit. They were going to have to trust that they were going in the name of Jesus, in His authority, with His power, to do the things that He commanded them to do. They came back with great reports. In other Gospels, it talks about them saying more specifically what they did. And Jesus had a response, said, don't rejoice over those things, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. But what takes place next? Then He took them with Him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed Him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Now, Jesus had just found out that John the Baptist had been beheaded and had been killed, and partly wanted to go off to a quiet place. But yet, even in the middle of the grief, or even in the middle of just dealing with that situation, the crowd was still there pressing around Him. And we see an amazing response that He didn't say to the disciples, look, you deal with the crowd and I'll just have a bit of quiet and on my own. But He told the crowds to sit down, and He began to teach them about the kingdom of God. And He continued to heal all that needed healing. What a great example. That even when personally He was could have been in a place of grief or dealing with a very personal situation, there was still that heart in Jesus to give and go beyond what was expected. You see, what underlined Jesus' life? Underlining His life was not a whole mindset of famine, or I haven't got, or I lack this, or I lack that. But undermining the whole of Jesus' life and ministry and thinking was, I'm in abundance because I'm in relationship with the Father. The Father has given me everything that I need to accomplish what He's called me to do. So at any given moment, at every given time, I have an abundance to give, whether personally I'm going through something that I'm having to deal with, or whether personally everything's going great, I still have an abundance to give from. So even when there's pressure, even when things don't go the way you want them to, even though there might be circumstances that put you under pressure or could make you feel disappointed, disillusioned or upset, or you're going through something that isn't really going your way, there is still that abundance of life in you that you can live from. because you draw from the depth of his life in you, the abundance of who he is in you, and that's then what enables you to walk through and get through those situations. And in this place of possible grief or just dealing with that situation, Jesus still drew on that abundant life that he had on inside him, still preached the kingdom, still reached out and healed those that were around him. Okay, let's just keep going for a minute. Late in the afternoon, verse 12, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." But Jesus replied, "You give them something to eat." Then they answered, "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd," which is about 5,000 men, plus obviously women and children. But Jesus said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Now, let's just read a bit more. "Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples and set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over." Now, these guys had been with Jesus for a period of time, had seen him do a number of miracles, seen how he dealt with people, how he was living his life. He then sent them off to do the same things as they'd seen him doing. They came back with great reports that they'd seen the sick healed, they'd seen demons cast out, they'd seen the authority that he'd given them overcome the power of the enemy or the devil in other people's lives. And at that moment, Jesus said, "Don't rejoice just in that, but rejoice that you're in relationship with the Father. Rejoice that you are saved. Rejoice that the one who is in you has saved you. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice that you have eternal life. If you understand that, then you have authority and victory over everything that can come your way, because you're rejoicing in him and not just in over what you've seen." So he was keeping their focus totally on the Father. If you keep your eye on him, then you'll have victory in everything else. If you keep your eye on him, then you'll overcome and be able to deal with whatever comes your way. Now, here's a situation where they'd just seen God work through their lives. They'd seen some great things happen. But now that Jesus wanted to do something something happened that was going to stretch their faith even more. What did he say to them? They'd just come back full of faith, full of encouragement. They'd been really excited about what they'd seen. And then here's a situation. 5,000 plus people need feeding, but we only have this. So when they were sent out to before, he said, "You have all authority to do this. You have all power to do this." So they went with, "We have authority, we have power to do this. Come on, let's go." And they saw God fulfill what he said to them. But now they're in a situation where they said, "But we only have a few fish and a few loaves. How can this feed everything else? Everybody else?" And Jesus said, "Right, give me the things." He blessed them. But what did he do? He then put those few loaves and those few fish into the hands of the disciples, the apostles, and said, "Right, now in the same way that I sent you out to do those other things, now I'm sending you to feed all these people. Now just begin to go and give and see what happens." And as they began to tear off the bits of bread and they began to break up the fish, they just had more and more and more coming out of their hands. The bread didn't run out. The fish didn't run out. And before they know where they are, they got 12 basketfuls left over. Now, interesting that it was bread and fish. Bread is a product of harvest. Fish, went in other situations, you know, when Jesus stepped into the boat I think it's Luke chapter 5, when he got into the boat by the Sea of Galilee and he pushed it out and he taught the people and Simon the fisherman, as he was then before he was called Peter, kind of was in the boat and Jesus said, "Come on, let's go out, throw your nets on the other side." And they caught a massive catch a fish, because we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. But then they throw out the nets and they get this huge catch of fish and they bring it all in. And it's interesting how they have a couple of loaves and a few fish, and loaves is all to do with harvest and abundance. And the fish analogies that whenever Jesus was around was also to do with harvest and abundance. And so Jesus is saying to these guys, right, here's the bread, here's the fish, here's the abundance in your hands. You have the abundance right within you, but what you see in your hands doesn't look like it can feed everybody there is around you. But you've got the abundance of harvest in your hand. You've got the bread, you've got the fish, you've got everything you need. And so as you begin to tear off, as you begin to give, what is in your hands, there's a multiplication that gets released through your life into other people's lives. An abundance mentality is more than enough. Because at the end, they had 12 basketfuls left over. They had more than enough to feed 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 people. But what they had in their hands looked like famine. How you see things will affect what you do with what is in your hands. The way you think will determine how you treat what you have in your hands. You can either look at the Word of God, you can even look at the power of the Holy Spirit, you can look at what God has placed in your hands, the promises, and you can say, well, how is that going to fulfill that? And the only way that that will fulfill that is by action, is by a response of faith. You begin to give, and something begins to happen. I mean, I don't know what they were like. The more they began to give, maybe they started putting off bigger chunks and bigger chunks and, you know, bigger. I don't know how on earth did that, what would that have looked like in their hands? If you divide a few loaves up between 12, a couple of loaves between 12 blokes, that's like a sixth of each loaf each. I don't know if it was like that sort of loaf. I mean, it was in a little boy's lunchbox, wasn't it? So it must have been a little roll or something. I don't know. A few kippers or fish, you know, that they had and breaking them up. I mean, they couldn't have had much each. And maybe at the beginning they were taking a little, well, here's a crumb. You know, here's a bit of crumb for you and a crumb for you. And hopefully that will multiply in your stomach. But, I mean, they fed everybody and they had 12 basketfuls. So that I don't know what it looked like and what must have been happening, but it must have been incredible. But where did the change take place from what was in their hands, the couple of bits of bread and a few bits of fish? I mean, imagine being one of the apostles looking at that and Jesus saying, that's your 500 to 1,000 over there. Now you go and feed that lot with this lot. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I'll go and, you know, we're going to have a right old feast over here. I'm in abundance. Hallelujah. You know, he must have thought, goodness me, what's going to go on here? But yet they did it. And as they began to do that, then something began to happen. And the 5,000 or however many it was there was fed. What's Jesus talking about? A lot of us maybe have seen God do something through our lives or a number of things through our lives. And we've been living our lives like the guys were sent out initially by Jesus. And they came back with good reports. Oh, we saw this, we saw that, and we saw the other. But then they come into a situation that is just beyond their comprehension. And God's been speaking to us about harvest and about abundance, about fruitfulness in our lives and through our lives. And we can greet that with either, well, that'd be great when I see it, or we can treat that with, right, God has put something in my hands and God's going to multiply what he's commanded me to do, what he's called me to do. He's going to multiply something through my life so that I'm going to see a greater thing happen, but more than enough. More than I've seen before. You see, what is the difference between being courageous and not being courageous? In Joshua 1, God was encouraging Joshua, wasn't he? Be strong and courageous, because you're to lead these people into the inheritance that I've spoken to you. Be very strong and courageous. What's the difference between not being courageous and being courageous? It's doing something, isn't it? You know, when God has spoken to you, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word. So you know when God has spoken to you, something happens on the inside of you, doesn't it? It's like, yep, that's it. God has spoken. Why does God encourage Joshua? Because he knows if I encourage him and he hears me, then he's going to stand up and he's beginning to step more into what I've called him to. He's going to be more courageous, bolder, or more bold, because he's heard something from me. But yet God knew he needed that encouragement. Now, to step into the harvest field, in one sense, needs some courage. It needs a decision to say, right, this is what I have in my hands. God has said, I've got all authority. I've got all the power I need. I've got everything I need for life and godliness. I'm not going to look at lack, because lack always says, I haven't got enough. I need more of something. I need another teaching. I need another video. I need another DVD. I need somebody to lay their hands on me again. I need another encounter with God. I need something more before I can do something, because that abundance is based on circumstances and feelings. Famine is based on circumstances and feelings, whereas abundance is based on what God says about you and me and what he says about us and where we're at. See, abundance says there is more than enough. Abundance draws from what is on the inside and says, well, even though I don't necessarily feel anything, because God has given me this abundant life, then I have something to draw from at this moment. Yeah. Every person in the room here, God has anointed you to heal the sick. Every person here is anointed to heal the sick. Every person out there is sick in some way. You talk to anybody and people have physical sicknesses and problems in their body of some sort. Probably most people in this room might have some kind of thing happening in your body. But you talk to people out there, it doesn't matter how old they are, even teenagers, young people, most people have got something wrong in their body. What a great opportunity. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, and we've talked about this before. If God is speaking about harvest and abundance, then we need to move towards people's lives. Yes. Now, sometimes I think the Holy Spirit works in different ways. And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit can drop something into your heart and say, right, go to a certain place or go and speak to this person or go and pray for them. And the Holy Spirit leads you like that and he speaks to you and you just know, right, I've got to go and do something. But also I believe the Holy Spirit will guide a moving object. If you're available and you are willing, then the Holy Spirit can guide you and lead you in situations to do something, pray for people. I mean, my general kind of, the way, my deal, if you like, with the Lord is if I hear anybody is sick, then I'm going to pray for them, whether they're saved or unsaved. But particularly if they're unsaved, I'm just going to make a move to see if I can pray for them. But if you don't want me to, then you've got to stop me. Now, the Holy Spirit is just as capable of saying, okay, pray for that person, as he is, don't pray for that person. But I'd rather work on the basis of, I'm going to move towards touching people's lives or seeing God do something, and the Holy Spirit's got to say, no, just wait a minute, or leave it, okay, rather than, shall I, shan't I, shall I, shan't I, shall I, shan't I. But what's the most important thing? Availability. If you're available, the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will give you a sense of doing something. It will speak to you. Or you're in a situation, and because the Holy Spirit knows you will respond, then he'll open up a conversation or a situation, and somebody begins to share their heart in some way. Because he knows you're available, then you're going to be like, hey, okay, Holy Spirit, you're opening something up here, so what do you want me to do? That footing, rather than, oh, what, I could pray for that person, but what happens if I do and nothing happens? And you know, it's like availability opens up an opportunity for God to do something. You are fully loaded. In one sense, we see as much as we want to see happen through our lives. Some people, you know, you can be with people and you think, why, God does so much through you. And why does he do more through you than you did? Well, maybe just look at their availability. Look at their openness. And just see whether there's an availability and an openness about their life that maybe they're more available when you look at your own life in relation to theirs. God is wanting to earth all this, the stuff he's saying to us, because every week can go by, every day can go by, and because we can't live a day again or we can't live a moment again, we want to make the most of every opportunity. I don't know how many people are in here this morning. I know there's some of the ladies are away. But imagine the whole church, even including the young people and the children, this whole understanding of 500-600 people fully loaded, you know, with the Holy Spirit, with light, with power, with authority, that needs come across our lives, or that they present themselves in front of us. And our first response is, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? I'm available. Do you want me to pray for this person? Or you begin to move towards them. Just begin to imagine the triggering of what's going to be going on. If all of us this week sort of laid hands on somebody and they got healed. You've got life in you. If you don't release it today, when will it be released? Because sometimes we think, well, I'll do something tomorrow. But then tomorrow comes, it becomes today. And then we think, well, I'll do it tomorrow. But you have life in abundance for today. And life in abundance to touch other people's lives today. You are fully loaded with the Holy Spirit, with power, with authority to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of God, and to see other people's lives touched with the power of God. You become courageous by making courageous decisions in response to what God is saying. But you find that when you look at what in your hand is in your hands, sometimes you won't feel you have an abundance. And that's where faith kicks in, isn't it? This is what God says about me. This is what he says I have. This is the season we're in. And so I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to act according to that. And I'm going to see him work through my life and touch other people's lives. Well, during the week when I was praying, I felt God kind of put a challenge before me and for us as a church. And he's been speaking to me about various things to do with the church this year. But one of the things God said was, do you believe that you as an individual can double in the next 12 months? And therefore, does everybody in the church believe they can double? Can they double themselves in a year during 2008? Do you have an expectation that God's going to double your life into somebody else's? Do you have an expectation that God wants to reproduce the life he has in you in somebody else? I'm not talking about somebody else in the church much, but somebody who's not saved yet. Because in response to what God is saying, how are you targeting your faith? In response to abundance and harvest, you know, those kind of words are great and we get excited, and we can look on a big scale and say, well, you know, who's going to see that and who's going to be doing that and when's all that going to happen and how's that going to work out? And we can be looking for somebody else to do something. But when you pull down that word into your own life and say, now, what does that mean for me? I mean, one of the things is God saying, do you believe you can double into somebody else's life this year? Now, on one level, we could probably all say, well, yeah, of course we can. But then at the same time, there's a challenge. But who is it that God has put on your heart? Who is it that you're specifically reaching out to? Who is it that you're praying in? Not just asking God to save, but who are you specifically praying for? What is God saying to you about those people? How are you reaching out towards their lives? What is our response to God saying this is a year of harvest and abundance? Who are you going to double into in the next 12 months? Who are you going to reproduce the life that God has put into you into somebody else? Because we could talk about, well, let's see the church grow and let's see this, that and the other and let's believe for this and let's believe for that and all of those kind of things. But we can only believe what God says. We can only believe what God initiates. And so rather than saying to me, you know, the church needs to be a certain size in the next whatever, and all right, we're all praying in this number, God really put on my heart, who, for every person, do we believe we're going to double. So it kind of earths it a bit more. When he sent them out, he was basically saying, look, here's everything you need to multiply. Here's everything you need to bear fruit. Here's everything you need in order to see me work through your life, to see other people's lives change and transform. And then he took them into another scenario with the multiplication of the bread and the fish. As we've said, the bread representing harvest and the fish really multiplication and bringing in a harvest, a catch. And so I believe God wants to kind of put a challenge before us this week and or today, not just for this week, but for this year. Who are you going to double into? What are we doing in terms of actual response to what God has said? Because we can speak abundance, we can declare abundance, we can pray for abundance, we can thank Him for abundance, we can thank Him for fruitfulness, but it, somehow it's got to be earthed in real people's lives. I know there's lots of outreach going on, there's loads of witnessing going on and everything in different ways through lots of different outreach and ministries, and there's probably a lot of that going on personally. But it's like for this year, for 08, God wants every person in the church to double. Would you ring? Yeah. Because the only thing you can take with you into eternity is the souls of men. Or the only thing that can go into eternity from earth is the souls of men. And everything that God has called us to, whatever sphere of life you're working in, whatever you might be doing, that's, in one sense, the place of witness, of fruitfulness that God's more than likely going to use you in, because that's where you're living your life and interacting with loads of different people. Who is it in that world that God has really put on your heart? Who is it that you've just noticed, or you feel a sense of compassion towards, or you just feel a sense of, man, I need to pray for that person, or God's just putting a... Now, they might look miles away from the kingdom, or they might be asking loads and loads of questions. But who is it that God is really stirring in your heart? Because it's very easy, isn't it, to have promises and we can live our lives and wait for somebody else to fulfill them, or for the church in general to fulfill something. Whereas everyone, we are the body of Christ. We make up. We are the members. We're the active people in the life of the church. And therefore, God wants to work through you, wants to touch lives through you, wants to do stuff through you. Because He wants you to double. He wants you to multiply. But let's start with that first step of doubling into somebody else's life. And as we said the other day in the vision night, we've got loads of different tools for new believers and for initial discipleship things to help put in your hands to help you, you know, invest in other people's lives, begin to disciple them and begin to see them grow and flourish in what God has for them. But God's changing things in the church, not just here but everywhere, because it's not just what is the church going to do for the people now. What is leadership going to do to make something happen? In Acts 2:42, as we said a few weeks ago, the first three words in that verse is they devoted themselves. There was something that was going on where every person in the life of that the early church they were devoting themselves to what God was doing. Devoted themselves to the word, they devoted themselves to prayer, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, and they devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the sharing of life together. The result of that was people were getting added to their number daily. Even a whole bunch of priests and religious people were getting saved because of what God was doing. And so God is kind of maturing, if you like, the church to realize, hang on a minute, they devoted themselves. So, Father, who? What are you saying to me? I want to reach out. I want to double in this year. I want to invest in somebody else's life. I want to see my life double. I want to have somebody to invest in all this abundance that you placed in me. And as you begin to take a little bit, you begin to give, then more begins to flow. And what you have, you know, if you don't, if they just kept the bread and the fish in their hands, it would have gone stale after a while, wouldn't it? It would have gone off. and it wouldn't have been edible because they just kept it because they hadn't believed that Jesus has just put this in our hands and I don't know Jesus and, you know. But Jesus wasn't saying, well, come on guys, he said, go on then. And they had to make a decision. Am I going to respond to what God has put in my hands? Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. I think firstly, we just want to thank God for just the abundance that he's placed in every one of our lives. Just thank him for the overflow. Just begin to raise your voice. Just begin to thank him that he's given you abundance of his life, an abundance of his power. He's given you an abundance of his authority, that he's given you an abundance of everything you need to live the life that he's called you to live. Just thank him that you're not in famine. Thank him that you're not living anymore in a I haven't got a something mentality. Just thank him that he's taken you out of that lack thinking and into a more than enough kind of thinking and attitude. Thank him for what he's placed in your hands. Thank him for the bread and the fish. Thank him for the harvest that is in your hands because of the abundant life that you have on the inside of you. Thank him that you have the words of eternal life in your hands, in your heart, in your life, and you can share those words of eternal life. Thank him that you have the words of life and power that in your mouth that can change other people's lives. Thank him that he is, you are fully loaded with the purposes of God. You are fully loaded with the riches of God. You are fully loaded with the power of God. Just thank him that you have everything that you need to fulfill God's commands and promises to us at this time. Father, I thank you that we're a church that is fully loaded. You've been priming the pump and now you're releasing or opening the taps for that to flow in a greater dimension than we've seen before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're putting before us for every one of us to double this year. Yes. Elisha said to Elijah, I want a double portion of what you have got. Father, we want to double in our lives to see friends, neighbours, work colleagues, whoever it is you've placed in our hearts. Not just to see somebody make a response, but Father, we want to see disciples being made, Father, lives being transformed and changed that then sees families turned around, whole families. Father, you've been speaking to us about whole families being saved, not just individuals, but whole families coming into your kingdom. Father, I thank you for individuals' lives that we're going to be touching increasingly this year. Father, I thank you for families coming to know you. We've already seen some families come to know you, but Father, we thank you for more than we've ever seen. Father, we don't want to just live in that time where you sent the disciples and they came back with a good report. Father, we don't just want to have good reports of what you have done, but Father, we want to live in that kind of multiplication scenario where you put things in our hands and it doesn't look enough, but as we begin to give what you've put in our hands to give, it begins to multiply and we're even going to have more than we need left over at the end because you never run out as we give into other people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have had a lack mentality, and even though all the things God's been saying and doing, some of the testimonies we've had, if you're still thinking, well, I don't know if I've really got it, then firstly, you just need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Just repent of a lack mentality or of a famine mentality, if that's still there. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to change that whole way of thinking. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness where we're still thinking lack or we're still just thinking, well, I haven't got what I need or I don't feel it or I haven't seen it, so therefore I can't see it. Father, forgive us where we're still going by circumstances or experience or what we have or haven't seen before. Father, I thank you that you speak right into every person's situation, into their lives at this time, that you would give every person in the body here a revelation of abundance and harvest in their lives. You know, the best way to get that revelation is God speaking to you. You can be encouraged, your faith can get strengthened as we meet together, your mind can get renewed and all of those things, because when we preach the word and we hear the word, then it challenges maybe some of the thinking that we have, some of the mindsets that we have. You know, when you hear the word of God, it changes your perspective on things. This is a silly example, but Jane's away with a lot of these women the last few days, and I normally sleep on a certain side of the bed, and in our bedroom, the bed isn't in the middle of the kind of wall, it's more to one side, and the side I sleep on, you kind of come in the door, and the side I sleep on is near the door. And so whenever I get into bed, I'm always in the middle of the room. So I have a certain perspective on the room. And I don't normally go round the side of her bed where her bedside table is, or whatever you call them, side of the bed, and all of that. So I don't normally go round there unless I draw the curtains. But normally she's asleep when I get up, and so she normally draws it. So I don't go around that side of the room much. But last night, Megan went up. And she said, "Oh, can I sleep in your bed tonight, Dad? Can we have a sleepover?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to be doing a bit of praying." So I said, "You can sit in my bed and read a few books, and I'll come and see you in a few minutes, and then we'll put you in your bed." But I went up probably about 20 minutes late, and she was crashed out on the bed there, fast asleep. But she was sleeping where I sleep. And I thought, well, that's my side. I'm comfy there. I like my pillows. And she's head on my pillows, and she's all, you know, and we have an electric blanket. I don't know if you have those sort of things. But I don't normally switch it on, but anyway. But she'd obviously switched it on, and I thought, oh, she's, you know, she was toasting, you know. So I turned the thing off, and I thought, right, do I pick her up or not? And, you know, your kids get to a certain size where it's just, no, just leave them. So later on, when I went to bed, I kind of went round the side that Jane normally sleeps in. And as I got into bed and I lay there, it was like, this is weird, the room feels bigger than it normally does. And I lay there, and because the window was closer, the rest of the room was over there. And I lay there and I thought, hang on, the perspective, I know this is a silly example because it's the same room that I go in every night. But just because I was a few feet to the left, my whole perspective on the room changed. And I lay there and I thought, actually, this room is bigger than I thought it was. And actually, it's a bit more panoramic, and there's, you know, whatever. But, and I thought, hang on a minute, perspective is really important. Because where you position yourself will determine how you look at things. And the Word of God repositions you to have a different perspective and to view things in a different way. Same bedroom, same bed, but a few feet to the left. And it's like, hang on, this room feels a lot bigger lying here than it does where I normally do. And for a lot of us, God's not talking about massive adjustments in our life. He's not talking about you're just all over the place. You need to become a totally different person if you're going to see this happen. God is just saying, I'm just giving you a different perspective, and you just need to move a little bit to the left here, a little bit to the right there in your thinking, and you just need to respond, because your whole perspective is different when God speaks. When God positions you, lines you up with what he's doing, the way you see it, it's like, hey, yeah, this is a lot bigger than I thought it was. There's a lot more possibilities than I thought there was. Because when you stay in one place, you get used to the surroundings and everything becomes status quo. But God just begins to move you. You get a different view and you're like, wow, this is so much more than I thought. I've got so much more than I thought. Man, I've got an abundance in my hands. Look at this. Man, I've got loads of bread, loads of fish. I've got loads of harvest in my hand. I've got loads of what represents God's plan. Man, I've got loads to give away. Loads to put into other people's lives. And that's what you have. An abundance. Just look at your hands. Just say, Father, I thank you. I've got an abundance in my hands. I thank you, give me an abundance of life, an abundance of authority, an abundance of power. Thank you that you've anointed me to heal the sick. Thank you, you've anointed me to cast out all demons. Thank you, you've anointed me to preach the kingdom of God. Thank you, you've given me the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I have everything I need to fulfill whatever you put in front of me. Thank you, Father, for this week being a week of fruitfulness. Thank you for being a week of harvest. Thank you, it's a week of abundance in every way. And I just declare that over my life. I declare that over my family. I declare that over my workplace. I declare that over everything this week. Over every life that I'm going to come across. The abundant release of your life through me this week. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.